Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I told Joe Staley he was going home. I told McGlinchey, whatever his name is, he was going home. All of them was going home. The whole playoff team, every team we played in the playoffs was going home because in my mind, you aren't better than this. If you're better, so that's kind of how I looked at football this playoffs. I looked at it like we were the best team in the playoffs no matter who we played. And once we hit our stride, we hit our stride. You know, they go call me cocky, they'll call me arrogant. Hey, why not? I just start being cocky, arrogant. It's about time I let it go, right?
Got that right, Frank Clark. After the game, where sitting on top of the mountain, he was letting it all fly downhill. There's more from him that we'll get to. But, yeah, he didn't hold back. He didn't hold back during the course of the week. He went off on Dee Ford about his offsides last year. He went off on several different tangents. And then when they said about the ring after the game, he took a page out of Kawhi's book and said, well, I know what finger I want to get. They said, what finger did you want to fit it for? And I thought for a second. He goes, and then I thought about it. Dang right, I want it on my middle finger so I can tell the rest of the world I got me mine.
Well, I mean, he
played his ass off.
He did 5 sacks in the playoffs, starting in Houston with 3. Had one against Tennessee and one in the Super Bowl against San Francisco. I mean, he can't knock it. 9 total tackles, 6 solo, 3 assisted. I mean, he showed up. He stepped up.
Even on the last drive when the Niners were in desperation mode, when they had to go back and review to see if Garoppolo was a forward pass or a fumble. Yeah. That was him. I mean, he was all over the field,
yeah.
And he backed up what he was talking with, his bumping his gums. He did a hell of a job, played a hell of a game, as you mentioned. And after the game, he didn't hold back on just saying what he told the guys. And you think about that. They were down 10 when they asked him the question. He went back on the field down 10 with that team looking like they were on the ropes. And he was talking mess to the Niners, going, y'all are done. That's pretty bold. That's when they asked the question. He's like, what were you, because obviously the other questions were, because the broadcast reported that the Honey Badger went nuts on the sidelines because he was mad at the defense and everything like that. And so the theme that media kept going to was, were y'all worried when you went down 10?
Right.
And he was like, no, I went back out on the field and started telling them, y'all are done.
Oh, okay.
And he had some expletives in the way he told
them,
of course.
Sure, sure, sure.
But so then after that, when they were talking to him, he had these comments about Jimmy Garoppolo.
We know the challenge of the checkdowns. You paying the guy $140 million, $130 million, whatever he's getting paid. Man.
Go ahead.
He got to throw the ball. Obviously, he didn't do that. They threw for about 200 yards on checkdowns. That ain't enough to win the game against us.
And it don't matter
what
it is. We're
Super Bowl champions.
Don't matter
what
it is.
My boy, the offense.
You can't tell us nothing.
Can't tell us nothing.
But see, that goes back to my point about that deep ball stuff. That's what Jimmy G is. I mean, he's a short and intermediate passing guy. You get him out of that, I don't trust him as much. And it's funny because that's to your point about Kyle Shanahan and his offense being too predictable. It is a good offense and it can be effective, but at some point, if you can limit deep plays and you can start to figure out how to handle the running game, then you put an offense in a bad position, and that's exactly what happened in that second half, especially when it was close, and they knew that it was going to be a shootout with the Chiefs. Niners just aren't built for a shootout.
Ooh, you don't think so?
Not a run-oriented team like the Niners, definitely not built for a shootout.
Man, I don't know, man.
Niners are built for getting up on you 14-3 and then holding a lead and running the ball and having Mostert run for 200 yards.
You have one of the most innovative minds in the game offensively, and then you give him 3 running backs with speed. You give him all the different variations, and we mentioned Samuel, but then you got Emmanuel Sanders. You've got all the different mixes that they have of talent at wide receiver. You got arguably one of the top two tight ends in the game. Mm-hmm. And you got a good offensive
line.
And
you think that they're built for a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I'm not saying with the Kansas City Chiefs, but I'm saying you said they're not built for a shootout. I don't think so. That's a team that could. They're built for whatever comes their way. If they got to play, you saw what they did against the Saints when they got in a shootout, mm-hmm. and they held their own and did and more and then some. And then you know Jimmy G and Kittle and those guys, they only needed a field goal, but they led their way right down the field. So I think that team. As much as obviously people think I hate them because they beat the Packers, no, I tip my cap to them because that is as complete a team as you're going to see in the NFC.
I'd be interested to see because you're right. They had the shootout with the Saints, but that's also because their defense couldn't stop the Saints, so they had plenty of opportunities. But the Niners, and I mentioned this going in, the Niners second highest scoring football team in the NFL. So I'm not doubting the offense. What I'm saying is I think that a lot of that scoring is predicated on the defense getting stops and the defense getting turnovers and then controlling the ball and scoring. So when you're winning games, you know, 20-7 or 21-7 a lot, that you tend to look better on both sides of the football. But when it comes down to the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl, you're not hanging with the Kansas City Chiefs. You're just not going to be able to do that.
I just think that that's a, like I said, the weapons on that team, I think they could play any way that they choose to play, especially with the coaching staff they have and the way that they're prepared offensively. But obviously it's a different animal to say, can you hang with the Kansas City Chiefs?
Especially if you're from behind or it's close because, you know, it takes a serious commitment to the run in order for that offense to work.
To your point, one of the things that I would say is, too, it's obviously a league of, a theory of repetition, right? It's a league where when you have to be ready to use whatever aspect you're going to bring out into a game. That we talked about the play before the game that they ran where it was like the four tops, the way they spun in the backfield getting ready for the fourth and one. And they did everybody in motion at one time, and then instead of snapping it to Mahomes, it was the running play to get the yard. And they said they've been working on it for quite a while. They stole it from the 1948 Rose Bowl from Michigan. But you work on repetition. To your point, the Niners constantly were getting big leads on everybody, not only in the regular season, but especially in the playoffs, to where we knew Jimmy didn't have to throw it, mm-hmm. and they didn't have to do anything mm-hmm. different than what they were doing, which is jam it down your throat.
Yeah,
and if you kind of get out of that mold, and depending on how you practice, it's a different animal when all of a sudden they go, okay, instead of up 20 and coasting, you got to play your ass off.
I wish I could see chunk plays, not on the ground, because we know that the Niners probably have a lot of chunk plays on the ground. But I'd be interested to see plays of 20 yards or more, how many the Niners offense had total versus the rest of the league. It'd probably be more than I would guess, but I would like to see where they would rank.
Well, you just have to look at his stats, too. He only had a couple of games all year where he threw for over 300 yards. And a lot of times when you have those chunk plays, your numbers go way up in a game.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that many. But again, they were so dominant. And that front four, front seven, even the defensive backs. I thought Richard Sherman, for the first time all playoffs, kind of got exposed.
Well, I told you about that. I talked about the fact that I read somewhere where they said that Sherman isn't as good as we thought one-on-one, that he needed zone coverage to mask his deficiencies in one-on-one coverage. And it kind of showed. Well, you saw it when he got into one-on-one coverage and didn't have safety help over the top a couple times for sure, and they pointed it out on the broadcast. They were like, man, he doesn't look like the same old Richard Sherman that we know.
Yeah. And he's one thing when he's just taking your slot receiver or a big bulky receiver. But when he takes a guy that's running a 4-2 on him, now you're in a hole. And you got two of them with Hardman and with Tyreek Hill. Now you're talking about a whole new ball game for a guy that's not exactly coming into the league, you know, fresh out of Stanford with fresh legs and spry.
Yeah.
He's hanging on in the speed category.
Somebody, Darrell Revis was happy.
Yeah,
oh, after yeah, all you that know back that. And forth.
Yeah,
for sure, right?
Yep.
Somebody said, what did y'all think of the OPI call on Kittle? I don't know if y'all touched on it yet.
Call.
Yeah, I did too. I thought it was, I thought he pushed off. I thought it was obvious, and I thought it was the right call.
I agree. The second one on Kelsey, too, where the defender doesn't necessarily make egregious contact with Kelsey, but he's in the end zone and he jumps. He never makes a play on the ball, never turns and looks at the ball, and just jumps with his arms wide open right into his face. I thought it was an easy call.
Yeah,
obviously, Clarence, as a Saints fan, has all kinds of issue with the OPI because of the fact that they're never going to get over that. But other than that, I thought, like you said, if Bill, what is it, Marinovich or Minovich, if you don't know his name and you're not talking about him the day after, I don't think you can blame any of this on the officiating.
Can someone tell Barry it was the biggest game of the year yesterday? Might need to do a little more prep work for next year.
Why?
I don't know what that means. What did I do? You feel like I wasn't prepped going into the game, or not prepped with my notes coming out of it?
Don't ask that, because then you're going to get an answer.
Because I would love Bill to Vinovich, show you. By the way. Yeah, I would love to show you my notes from the game prior to and after.
Was Bill Vinovich the pass interference?
Just because you don't agree with me, by the way. Just because you don't agree with me doesn't mean I didn't do my homework, sir.
You're absolutely right, Craig.
Yes.
He's the guy that has the controversial call, the Rams Saints game, and they made him the referee for the game. A lot of people had a lot to say about that prior to the game, but again, based on how the game played out, we're not talking about Bill Vinovich today, and
no.
I think for good reason. That means they did their job.
I agree 100%. I think there was a few missed calls, but that's always going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen in every game.
I mean, you're going to have missed calls.
So. Yeah, you're not doing it by replaying electronics alone, and so human nature, human beings, going to make some mistakes.
Yep.
But I thought that they did overall, they did a really good job. So, okay, so there's a lot of football, and if you guys want to digest more of it and talk about it, we did our research, and we're ready for you. 713-780-3776, HRP Lister line.
2648.
Stop.
281.
Well, you can't dox people, right? Is that illegal?
No.
It's not illegal to dox people?
You sent me your number. It's fair game.
I guess it's frowned upon.
Okay. You think we care on this show about being frowned upon?
There's a lot of frowns in this building, Trey. We're just trying to turn them upside down. So we got plenty to talk about outside of the game of football itself, and we can always talk about that. But let's talk about the halftime show. Let's talk about the commercials. Let's talk about some of the other things that were big. Boy, I'll tell you what, those kneel downs at the end of the game for Patrick Mahomes, you might have thought it was just a way of putting the game away. Some people lost some money on that. Let's just say that. So lots more to get to. It's hour number 2, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Stephen A. Smith here. If you're like me, you have a mortgage and a family who depends on your income, then you need to protect the ones you love with life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-601-6992. That's 1-800-601-6992. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Smith.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Chuck Norris heard you were thirsty, so he punched the earth, made it cry, and bottled the tears. C4's natural artesian water is one of a kind, dated back 23,000 years to the last ice age. C4's water is the smoothest, freshest, volcanically filtered water available. It comes directly from a sustainable aquifer deep beneath Chuck Norris's Lone Wolf Ranch. It's ice age water at its purest. Find this naturally high pH water at H-E-B, Albertsons, Randall's, and convenience stores near you.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. Mahomes takes the snap. He is just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson. It is going to use up all the time. The game is over, and the Chiefs kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. And Chiefs Kingdom, get ready to welcome your champions.
Barry, your thoughts. That was obviously the flagship of the Chiefs on their final call of the game. And you know, with my background, I have thoughts.
I'm going to let you go first because I only have one observation from the whole thing. And I want to see if it's mixed in with yours.
Okay, I'll use the most current example I can give you because we've had this discussion in the past. I don't like guys that script what they're going to say for the final call of the biggest play of a franchise or a career or otherwise. I like the fact that whether it was true or not, LeBron just went from the heart and put his speech down the other night. And I think that it was beautiful and it was fantastic and it was on point, but it wasn't. When it's scripted, sometimes you have a hard time really feeling the emotion, the raw emotions, and having that attachment to it. I felt like we could have done without. However, we just took way too much time getting to the peak of a mountaintop to talk about this. It seemed like what everybody wanted, which his signature call is Kansas City, and stop trying to elongate it. You're Super Bowl champions. You can be champions of the world. It seemed like it was very forced.
Okay. Is that your...
I will hand it to you. Go ahead. Here's the microphone.
No other observations from it?
There's plenty, but I just think that over... No, I mean, I think overall, that's what got me the most was instead of just the raw emotion of, you know, after 50-some years, your Chiefs have, you know... It's like when... For all you can say about Jim Foley not being... Didn't go to school for broadcasting. Mm-hmm. But one of his great calls is, you know, after Geno gave the championship call is, Houston, your team's on top of the basketball world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you got to say. Things like that. You know, obviously right. You want how sweet it is from Geno, and you want the short, sweet, celebratory call of your color analyst.
Trey, get the audio ready. Because I'm going to tell you what my problem was, and you're going to need to hear some of it again to pick it out. But for some reason, this dude's breathing.
That's what I was about to say. It was
he goes,
so weird.
He was like, and the Chiefs are on top of...
It sounds like what, he's been smoking.
Yeah, what was it? Play it again and listen. When he takes a breath, you can hear him go...
Kansas City 31, San Francisco 20. Mahomes takes the snap. He is just going to throw it long for DeMarcus Robinson.
Not yet.
It is going to use up all the time. The game is over. And the Chiefs kingdom has firmly planted its flag on top of football's highest summit. The Kansas City Chiefs are champions of Super Bowl 54. Final score, Kansas City 31.
Like, what the hell was that? You could hear him. The Kansas City Chiefs are on top of
football. He sounds like he's been swimming.
I can't even do it. I'm making myself cough.
Look, it's taken 2.5 months to get you to this point. Please don't ruin it trying to imitate that dude.
Man, like what? That's the only thing I noticed from the whole call was the breathing. It got weird as it went along.
So
I'm glad you noticed.
Having experience with broadcasters in different sports get to this point, which is unique. It's an honor to have. Whether you guys make fun of the Comets championships or not, between the Comets and the Rockets and having been through all that and dealing with guys that have done this in the past too, you kind of want bullet points, but you don't want, like, some people sit there and they constantly rehearse.
Right.
Like, what am I going to say whether it be Akeem breaking the all-time blocks record?
I would want to be prepared.
The minute the buzzer goes off, I'm going to say this. Instead of having it all scripted out, should just say the key points. Kansas City's first ever Super Bowl title. How many years it's been. You know, you use the signature call all the time with, you know, touchdown Kansas City, but some kind of adaptation
Rock
of that.
Rock and roll, Chiefs! No, you can't use that.
No,
I don't think that works.
I don't think they would like that very much.
Yeah, and then and again, I used to talk about that all the time when, you know, guys got into the business and the difference between different guys and their styles. But even like signature calls, you don't want it to be real long and real forced.
Yeah,
I used to tell you that, you know, Jeff Hagedorn, when he was voice of the Comets, when someone was on fire, she's burning hot with the white hot intensity of 1,000 suns. That's already too long.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, like, think about video games and stuff. He's heating up. He's on fire. And then Geno's, how sweet it is. Those are, you know, and Chick Hearn. Chick Hearn's was longer, but you knew Chick Hearn when the game was going to be over. That was at a time when you didn't care how long it took.
Right.
When, you know, the lights are out, the refrigerator door's enclosed, and the butter's melting, blah, 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 blah. But that everybody had their signature calls. It's just the less forced it feels, the more genuinely people become attached to it.
I always liked the Vin Scully approach where he would just be silent for like 10 seconds and let the stadium noise
soak
play
in.
Through. Yeah,
sure. That's also a good approach.
And he's probably thinking of what he's going to say, too, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with thinking about what
as
you're going to say in a big moment.
As long as you're thinking about it and not reading like a paragraph you wrote this that afternoon.
Agree. But I'm saying like if he takes like the Vin Scully approach of letting the stadium noise from the celebration fill it. And you know who else is pretty good at this? And you're going to disagree with me, and I think most of the suspects are going to disagree with me.
You're going to say Joe Buck.
I am going to say Joe Buck.
I agree.
Buck is really good at at final moment calls. You can disagree with his body of work and what he does in the game, but in the final moments, even if it's scripted, it doesn't feel it. It feels natural, and there's a genuine excitement to his last sentence or two of a big game.
I can go. Look, he's a polished broadcaster. He comes from a family in which his dad's a Hall of Fame broadcaster. And as a broadcaster, period, just overall body of work, and like you said, in moments like that, I'll put my trust in him to have a good call. Yeah, no doubt about it.
Yeah,
I just think sometimes, and again,
we don't even have his final call, do we? Do we have Fox's final call?
I don't think so.
Oh, it would be
interesting. I can find it.
It would be interesting to hear his final call versus that one.
And maybe by the end of the show, Trey, you can show your producer chops.
Yeah, somebody wants to know, hey, Barry, what are y'all's thoughts on the Chiefs touchdown when the running back stepped out of bounds? Do you think that they got it right? I do.
I thought it was too close to reverse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So ruling on the field stands was about right.
But let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
That damn pylon's got how many cameras pointing how many ways? Why isn't one of them pointing straight down the line? You know, because I never saw. No, but they even said.
They need one pointing up, though.
Well, that too.
Right.
A wide angle, like pointing right down on the goal line, too, because they even said, until the NFL gets a straight down, and it's on both sides of the field. You have to have cameras on both sides of the field at the goal line just so you can get, and like you said, in a wide angle. So in this case, you got to see where the foot is when the ball
was.
Not
a wide angle. I'm saying so you have, they have them going left, right, and down the goal line, right? So you have it the left on the inside, on the, you know, through the 5 to the 10 yard line where you can see it. You have on the right into the end zone, and then you have it on the goal line. They need a camera pointing up so you can see the ball, whether it crosses inside or outside of the pylon. And then you could link that up with when he touched out of bounds. And
I thought
you could determine, was the ball across the pylon before or after his foot touched out of bounds?
But that's
so now
I'm
you
saying.
Just need one pointing straight to the sky.
The wide angle I'm saying,
which is
because
crazy.
What I'm talking about is so that not only can you see down the goal line and see where the ball, and like you said, up so you can see where the ball is, but you also have to see where the foot is at the time that
well,
that ball
just
is there.
Them up. They can time code. They can take the time code from the video.
Because Aikman was the one that said, until they get that kind of raised a little bit and straight down the goal line shot, it's always going to be a problem. And the one that we've seen, I don't know if it was playoffs or at the end of the regular season, they didn't have it from the reverse angle. Like if the play is down in the corner that where that play was, they need one shooting from the other pylon towards that play.
Well, they just need left, right, straight, and then up.
You would just think would the amount of money they pay to get the rights.
And just throw in one
and
more
all
camera
the technology.
At the top.
Yeah, just throw do it. Like so for NBA games, we called it the reverse high angle is just it doesn't even have to be manned. Just put a camera, attach it to the railing or wherever it is, elevated. You got the zoom and everything that you can control without having to have someone there. But you can get every shot you need because it's so important at the goal line.
Yeah.
All right, that's the first half of the show as we continue to roll on. And we're appreciating you being suspects and joining in post-Super Bowl. If you guys have comments, want to join in on the second half of the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. It's Trey. It's Barry. It's Joel. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
and on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Handoff, Damian Williams trying to get to the edge, breaks a tackle, 35, 30, Damian Williams, 20, stays in bounds, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Kansas City, Damian Williams runs to immortality and will be remembered forever in the Chiefs kingdom. A 38-yard touchdown run, and the Chiefs lead 30-20.
You have
can't unhear it.
Scorned me
yep.
for life.
Can't unhear it now, can you?
Now on every call, instead of just thinking how original and good that every time the Chiefs do, now all I'm hearing is it's like I'm hearing emphysema instead
he
of hearing
like he
a great call.
Cough.
Yeah, it sounds like he has a whooping cough. Yeah, it's hard to unhear now. It's like the, I believe it's the song Black or White. There's like this, remember when I ruined it for everybody?
Yeah.
There's like a bell or something in the music and you can't unhear it.
Yes.
Once you listen to the song and it just ruined it.
And Nick and I had
thing.
Never heard it. And once you got it, the clip all, and played it, it's all you can
all
hear.
All you hear now in the song. And this is the same thing now. I'm glad I'm not a Kansas City Chiefs fan yet.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, you're still trying to find out what team you want to be a fan of.
Yeah. Let's get to this, Barry.
Well, I haven't decided yet. I'm going to do a video. I want to do a Sports Map video reveal. And I want you there, though.
I don't want to be there.
Why not? I want to do it like college high school signing day style.
There's only one way I want to be there.
Are you going to get a bunch of hats?
Yeah, I want a Chiefs hat and a Packers hat on the desk. And then I'm going to make my decision who I'm going to be rooting for next year.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be tough to not root for a team that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And like, do you think that Nick Saban's sitting there when a kid picks some school other than Alabama? I'm not going to be there. If
you don't want to...
If I don't have the inside trading, if I don't have if I don't have
know
the information,
sure,
then
there's not a Packers pick, you don't want
to
be there?
It's down to the Packers and Chiefs? Or
yeah.
Is there a third
no, that's
team?
It. That's it. And I made this before the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. They were... In the playoffs, I think it was right after. Yeah, it was right after the Texans lost to the Chiefs, and I went through all the teams.
We could get like a celebrity to appear as you choose. Like you get Larry Johnson.
I like
and,
it.
Brett
I like
Favre
it.
Favre or something.
Yeah, I like it. But I narrowed it down.
Now,
I went
if
through,
you get Brett Favre, I'll show up. If you get Brett Favre to help you with the announcement, I'll stop by.
I mean, I literally went through team by team and was like, nope, I can't root for anyone in the AFC South because I hate them. I can't root for the Steelers. I grew up hating them. Mike Renfro, that was a catch. Touchdown back in the end zone, 1980. Mm-hmm. I can't root for the Cowboys. So I literally eliminated all. And what it came down to is there were two teams, if I was going to switch and root for, that I could see myself rooting for going forward. One of them was the Packers and one of them was the Chiefs. And I actually eliminated the Niners for two reasons. One was because their dynasty in the 90s was kind of disgusting. And the fact that Joel hates Kyle Shanahan. So I eliminated him for him because of that.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So and now I'd like to tell you, you can't go wrong because both teams are top five for next year.
Yeah.
I've seen the Packers are fifth. The Chiefs are the favorites to be back. So, I mean...
So, there you go. So, my fandom is still a free agent, and at some point this week, I will make my decision. But if you're not going to be there, I don't want to do a video.
I mean...
I wanted you there, but that's okay.
You're
no,
doing
no, no.
the LeBron James thing.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to have like an hour special on ESPN.
I'm thinking about on Sports Map, though.
You're going to get like a bunch of kids from like the school and go and do it in a school gymnasium.
I am.
That's pretty good.
You get a bunch of Packers kids and a bunch of Chiefs kids and break somebody's heart. Yeah,
because
that's how it goes. Now, I do want to, you played the play-by-play, and I do want to stop, and because we haven't done this yet, but I do want to say congratulations to the entire state of Kansas. It's a big win for them.
It just, you can't write this. I know you write jokes and everything like that. You just can't script this stuff that comes from the commander-in-chief of our country.
Well, listen, I too... have made that mistake.
Here come the text messages.
I know.
There, but by the grace of God, go I. All right? I can't. There, technically, he wasn't incorrect. Kansas City.
There is one.
As a city, is in Kansas and in Missouri. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. If you look it up on the map, there are sections of Kansas City that are in Kansas. But I think the majority of people feel like that, for the most part, it's a Missouri city. But he wasn't wrong. That's the thing.
So you
but he should have just stuck to, you brought the, you know, Chiefs Nation or something like that.
Did you?
But then people have been like, that's racist.
See the tweet from the former senator from Missouri?
He called him a name, right? Or he?
He did. She did. There was a female former senator. Everybody was losing it over this.
But I mean, look, I pulled up the map. There's Kansas City. There's a section of
it's really close.
Yeah. There is a section of Kansas City that's in Kansas. There's Overland Park, which would be like saying Katy or Sugar Land. If Sugar Land was in Louisiana and the rest of Houston was in Texas, I could see the mistake. If the Sugar Land Skeeters won it all and somebody was like, hey, congratulations, I could see the mistake.
And I appreciate you wanting to make Twitter great again. I'm just saying that you hire your own staff, right? It's like we talk about with Stephen A. Smith. Whether you have a bare-bones staff or whatever at ESPN, but there's got to be someone in your ear. Or instead of you just running wild on Twitter sometimes, you got to have someone right there going, before I send this, can you just – you don't have a single say in what – it's my opinion. But just check it for – like, you're on Twitter. You have the spelling issues. You have issues with things like that from time to time that you block people for. Yeah. Instead of having to go through all that, just go, hey, give us a once-over before I send this out.
When I was in Wichita, but I don't do that, and I wouldn't do that. If on a tweet like that, I would just be like, oh, yeah. But because I was in Wichita and I asked, is this a big deal? Is there like a beef between the Missouri side of Kansas City and the Kansas side of? And he said, yeah. Like, people in Missouri don't like the Kansas side of Kansas City. They're like, no. You stay over there. So I don't understand the whole beef, but technically there is parts of Kansas City that are in Kansas. So it wasn't a complete disgrace. It was just it's bad form.
I didn't think it was as big a deal as
I agree.
I said it like when it happened, I was like, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, and my friends were like, oh, I didn't know you were such a Trump supporter, Trey. Oh, I didn't know you were such a Trump supporter. Oh.
Yeah, that's probably the text I'll get.
Yeah.
Because when I come out and diss him, by the way, doing my taxes, not a Trump fan.
Oh boy.
Not a Trump fan at all.
See, you were on the fence. You were doing good.
Now, last year I tweeted about his tax plan, and this year it's way worse now for me. Way worse. So Trump and his tax plan can suck it. Definitely not helping him if he thought he was going to get my vote. But this to me is not a big deal. There are plenty of other things that you could hate Trump for. Messing this up, this is pretty minuscule.
Okay.
I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. Now,
he doesn't look good. It makes him look pretty stupid. I'll agree with you on that, Joel, but it's not.
Now, Trey, you're making it worse for me. But I'm just saying, as the president of the United States, you got to kind of know what you're supposed to know.
I get it, though.
Okay.
Kansas City is in Kansas as well.
And by the way, Missouri. I'm all for whatever he's done with taxes.
Oh, no.
Yours went well?
Oh, very well.
Really?
That's good. Yeah.
For all the different things you can be critical of that everyone can be critical of him for, tax-wise, and then having another kid, I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
We'll see. I ended up owing four times what I did last year.
Wow!
Yeah.
Yeah. Not I, sir.
And last year wasn't bad. It wasn't great. It was the most I've owed in a long time. Okay. But I was like, it's manageable. And I get it. People were like, yeah, but you got more back on your check. Okay, so that's why I was like, okay, fine. So it was manageable. This year, I owe four times. And I didn't make four times that I did last year either. But for some reason, I owe four times as much as I did last year. Pretty stupid. Thanks, Trump. Remember when everyone was like, thanks, Obama? Thanks, Trump.
Here's the thing.
Idiot.
Here's the thing.
Now this I'm just trying to get the 409 the next, all upset.
Yeah, this is going to be the next. And not just you with 409. This is going to be the next thing that creates a continental divide between friends on social media, because just on my Facebook alone, two people I went to high school with, one decided to just post the tweet, the other decided to chime in and get really, really upset, and then everyone else that were friends with either one or both of them had to watch 56 back and forths between the two of them to where it's getting to the point where they may never speak again.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever not speak to one of my friends or family just because of their political affiliation. I know, like, when I dissed Trump and his tax plan and said that Trumpers were sensitive, I can't tell you how many people unfollowed me on Twitter.
How many dependents do you have?
Zero.
Okay.
Like, it's just me and the wife.
It just came up on the text line.
We don't have any kids.
Trace tried to do his own taxes.
Yeah,
for you.
Please stop reading the text. It messes me up.
Sorry, Barry.
Because I look for the. Yeah. You got to stay out of the inbox. It messes the whole flow up.
My bad. I'm a rookie. So.
But, like literally hundreds of people unfollowed me because I said bad things about Trump, which I find funny. If I would have said bad things about Obama or Hillary, would those same people have unfollowed me? No. I don't believe it. It's a weird thing.
But you do know, like, during the election and after the election, it literally got to the point where people that had been friends for a lifetime, like unfriended each other and blocked them on Twitter and just aren't speaking anymore. It was that passionate.
That's just crazy.
It is crazy.
That is, come on. That's petty level 1,000.
I agree.
Like, don't be that petty. You can disagree, and I can not like your president. You can not like my president. Because that's the thing is, nobody on the Democratic side, nobody on the left is claiming Trump as president, just like no one on the right was claiming Obama as their president, which also is funny and hypocritical because I can't tell you how many people I've seen in the last 2 years who be like, that's your president. Really? Was Obama your president? Well, no. Well, then what are you doing? So don't be a hypocrite.
So you've basically gotten the first four messages out of the way on the Facebook page between those two people.
Really?
Yeah, because the response was when Obama...
He's still your president.
Yeah,
not my president.
Those were the first two.
Yeah.
And then the rebuttal was, well, when Obama said we had 56 states as a nation, which I don't remember, but then that started the whole hell breaking loose. Yeah. So, I mean...
It's crazy.
By the way, were you guys a fan of the superhero pictures instead of photos on players making plays in the Super Bowl?
Do what?
Did you notice that? Instead of just the headshot of a player when they did something good to score a touchdown, cartoon. It was the cartoon.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. We need to talk about the halftime show a little bit more.
Commercials.
And commercials. I want to see what your favorite commercial was. Did you watch them all?
I did.
Okay.
All right.
Trey?
Rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show. So if you want to join us, get in on the discussion. 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us up on Twitter. Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Trey, normally when you say hot, that means you've already turned the mic on, but that's okay, because we're not mad at you.
Thank you.
A lot of people love hearing and seeing Jugs.
OU Dillon has declared he will never listen again if Trey isn't the producer. We're going to miss you, LU Dillon.
Yep.
Yeah, we're going to I don't know about that one, LU. You might be that might be a shot in the dark.
Well, I think what it is he doesn't like Nick. He sends a lot of fat jokes about Nick, and that's really what that stems from, Trey.
Why doesn't he like
Nick? He's not team Trey. He's just team anti-Nick.
Well, that hurts. That hurts a lot, LU Dillon.
Okay. Well, I think you'll get over it.
Yeah,
all right, let's talk commercials.
Sure. All right.
Your favorite was?
I'm going to go a little bit kind of, well, there's a couple. Obviously, I love the dog that got the cancer treatment from the University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Just because of the
background. Okay, so let's start there.
But I'm not going to say that's my favorite of all of them, but I'm saying I love that one.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think that $6 million that he spent would have been better served donating it to the program to help further the research that helped save his dog?
I lost a dog to cancer that was like my son.
Yeah.
I was very, 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 very close to that dog. I think a lot of people have relationships like that with their pet. And to this point, there really hasn't been a solution. If what he's talking about and promoting and the fact that he's making people aware of the fact that there may be research that's coming that may help to solve this problem, if not solve it, kind of at least do have a better chance to keep your pet around longer and try and heal the pet, then I think it was fantastic.
Do you know how many homeless people you could feed with $6 million?
You know what?
Do you know how many homeless animals you could place? Do you know how many?
Since you want to make this whole thing about us arguing today and being political and getting all that's fine. I get all that. But I'm just saying from the commercial itself, and having lived through a dog that
Literally the one I didn't like the most.
Good. That does
because
not,
I felt like
doesn't that seem like that's par for the course for us?
Because I felt like it was wasted money.
I
that's the only reason. The commercial was fine. I just had a problem with the wasting the money on that.
I loved Bill Murray Groundhog Day.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay.
I did. Can I just say this? One of the things I didn't like either was, like you said, talking about spending the money. If you're going to spend the money to run the same commercial you've been running for the last couple of months, why?
Yeah. Some of those folks. Well, I mean,
did y'all
hear get their ad out.
Hear what PETA wanted to do about Groundhog Day?
No.
They want to replace Pennsylvania Bill with a machine.
Pennsylvania.
Isn't that his name?
Puxatawny.
Puxatawny Phil.
Not Bill. Phil
and God, Pence, did you just hack that up?
I don't know.
Pentecostal, what did you just call it?
Did you just call him Pentecostal Bill?
Yeah.
If you all are out here with Pentecostal Bill, you think you're going to dance on Groundhog Day? Think again. Pentecostal Bill is not going to allow dancing or drinking. He's like basically the mayor in Footloose. That is Pentecostal Bill, and we're not going to have it.
Trey just thinks
Puxatawny Phil.
Trey thinks that the groundhog was a bench press champion, and he called him Pexatommy. Pexatommy. Come
one.
On, man.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know the dude's name.
So what do they want to replace Puxatawny Phil with?
A robot. They want to replace the groundhog man with a robot.
And then one of these nerds that's been playing Horizon Zero Dawn too much would jump out and shoot him with an arrow, and that'd be the end of that. No.
That'd be pretty funny.
It would be funny. We're fine with Puxatawny Phil or Pentecostal Bill. Either
Pentecostal
one.
Pentecostal Bill.
We're fine with it. Just leave it alone, PETA. No one likes you anyways.
Yeah,
go away.
Everybody hates PETA.
Yeah, and
like,
they should.
Go away.
PETA is a horrible organization.
What do they
go
even
away.
Do?
They bitch. They bitch
How
and cry.
Where do they get all the money from?
Who knows? They steal. I don't know. I'm just going to start spreading lies about PETA. I think they rob banks. All these unsolved bank robberies, PETA.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
That so dude who hijacked an airplane, PETA.
Joel's like, boy, you are really digging a hole for me right now.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion. And we were talking commercials.
My favorite was Lil Nas X and the Doritos commercial.
That was pretty good.
I really thought that was funny.
I thought it was pretty good, too, but I wasn't really paying attention.
What? Trey, what was your favorite commercial?
Probably the Tom Brady Hulu ad. I thought that was really, really clever.
Because he trolled everybody.
Yeah, I was like, I was one of the people that was like, oh man, he might be retiring.
He's quitting.
I was all excited, and he got me.
Yeah, he did. He got all of America.
Yeah, he fooled us.
Yeah. Well, I like the reason I like the Doritos, Lil Nas X and Sam Elliott commercial was. I thought it was creative and funny, but they had shown another commercial prior to the Super Bowl where Sam Elliott was in a saloon and he was basically doing the lyrics to Old Town Road. And it was
and
super funny.
Like he was speaking the lyrics?
Yeah. Like he was talking to a bartender, but he was using the whole dialogue of the scene was all the lyrics to Old Town Road. And it was very funny. And I didn't see it during the Super Bowl, but that's why I was glad to see another one with him and Lil Nas X and the dancing and the fact that Lil Nas X's horse had speakers on it. I just thought it was really funny.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was
really
good.
Funny. Mm-hmm. So that was my favorite commercial. I also, I'm not going to lie, I liked Take It to the House Kid to start the whole thing.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I really did.
That was well done by the NFL. That was fantastic.
It kind of played off like the Hall of Famers last year, like where they were all in that banquet room.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I marked Hulu as one. That new Porsche looks pretty badass. Mm-hmm. That commercial was okay.
The one with Chrissy Teigen?
No. The one where the security guards were chasing each other and the one guy had the tractor.
I know it's shocking, but I love the Cheetos commercial with MC Hammer. Can't touch this.
I put that on my bad list.
I liked it.
Do y'all think Chrissy Teigen's hot, by the way?
Yeah.
I think she's hot in the way that Andre Johnson's a Hall of Famer. Like, just barely.
I'm kind of with him on that.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think she's hot.
Lisa and I have had this discussion. Yeah, I'm just not... she's okay.
You know, she like some dude went to her door and offered her like a great life, but in exchange, somebody had to die, and it was Mr. Rogers who ended up dying.
What are you even talking, Trey?
That's what she said. She said that to Zach Galifianakis.
Okay.
At least you got that name right. You can get Galifianakis right.
But you can't get Puxatawny Phil.
Puxatawny Phil even close.
Puxatawny Bill.
Yeah, you think he needs to get in the weight room. Peck's a tiny Phil.
I liked the SodaStream Mars water one. I thought that was pretty funny, where he makes his own soda out of water. And they're like, dude, that was the water from Mars. He's like, oh, I thought I said Mark.
That one was funny.
I thought it was, yeah, that was, I liked to enjoy that one. I'll tell you one that I've seen before, but the smart speaker one. Where he's like, smart speaker.
Yeah, that's play. One of the ones where they've already had the commercial
on. God, I feel that so much. And I laugh so hard at that commercial every time I see it to
is
me.
Is that the one where it's I'm though. Not a spy?
Huh?
The one where it was like, I'm not a spy.
No. It's the one where he was like, smart speaker, play smooth jazz playlist.
Yeah, I had that on
smart speaker!
I had that down that's on one me. Of my worst ones that
really?
I hated. Yeah,
that's I already me. Saw that one like that's before what I mean. The Super Bowl.
But
yeah.
It's still funny.
Yeah, Joel's right on that
It still
one.
Makes me laugh. How did y'all feel about the Dos Equis man being back?
I'm fine with it. I don't think, look, sometimes you do something so well and you create literally a second logo for yourself. I never thought they should have gotten rid of him, but I liked seeing him again. I didn't have a problem with it.
The most annoying one was wash this shirt later, whatever the hell the Tide one was. Mm-hmm. Bouncing in and out of other commercials. I was like, nope, this is stupid as hell.
The confusing one was Procter & Gamble, who decided to mix and mash all of their characters from all their commercials into like one commercial. And I kept going, well, here's an ad for... Nope, here's an ad. Nope. It just... I was like, nah.
Yeah, it was just a Procter & Gamble ad, huh?
Now, according to the New York Post, here's their top
commercial. By the way, the avocado one was really stupid.
I don't know that I remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was stupid.
Well, that's probably why.
There was a Hard Rock J-Lo commercial that was stupid.
Yeah, Pitbull was in that.
Yeah.
That was so... that was like... $14 million.
Now, there was one really emotional one. There's Google several. Remember?
Yes.
Then and Nora and all the ladies in the house were like, oh my God, it's so sweet. I was like, that is the stupidest thing I have ever seen. They were like, why? I was like, do you know how long it would take to go through your pictures on Google and tag every one of them so that you could say, hey, Google, show me pictures from my anniversary? You literally have to go through thousands of pictures to make all that happen. That was just unrealistic to me. That was stupid. And you're looking at me like I have no soul.
Indeed. Well, first you kill the dog spot, and then you have that to finish with.
Yeah.
You pretty much don't have a heart.
Okay.
I'm glad you have a pulse.
There's a new electric.
I don't know how.
There's a new electric Hummer out, and that looks neato.
With LeBron.
Yeah. Oh, is it LeBron?
LeBron was pumping the new Hummer.
Oh.
Since he was known in high school of having one and where that showed up from.
That is true.
According to the New York Post, the top five, the Anquan Boldin NFL inspired change.
Okay.
After his brother was killed. Good spot. But again, Trey, like I said, it was seen before. Number two, the Ellen Amazon before Alexa.
Hated it.
Not a fan.
Nope.
Number three, Google. Loretta, which is the one you're talking about
That was stupid.
That one.
That was stupid.
Number four. Oh, and this one annoyed the hell out of me, too. Hyundai Smartpak.
I thought that was pretty funny.
This is why we do the show together.
I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, my God. If I heard one more over Boston accent.
That was the whole point.
I know. It's annoying as hell.
And then they had Big Poppy in the window. I thought that was great.
I'll give them that. And number five was Budweiser's Typical American.
I don't remember that one.
Where they say typical Americans, and they show the guy giving his T-shirt to a homeless person on the subway, and typical American this and that. Six was Groundhog Day for Jeeps. So
okay,
there's your top six. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. That's 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two thoughts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.